He's this area's public defender. This morning, he's defending his record as he seeks another term in office. Just ahead, an exclusive interview with Matt Shirk about past controversies and the road ahead. Good morning, live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. The show's always live at 9, and now subscribe to the daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just ahead, public defender Matt Shirk joins the show, talking about his record in office and his campaign for re-election. Get on the line now at 549-2937. Also this morning, the future of transit in Northeast Florida, how ITS, Intelligent Transportation Systems, are fixing your commute. Plus, comedian Greg Morton and The Spectator with some ideas for your weekend. That's later. All of that ahead this morning. But first this hour, public defender Matt Shirk is running for another term in office. Shirk is forging ahead and trying to move past some controversy that's dogged his time in office. That includes a scathing grand jury report that recommended Shirk resign after allegations that he sent suggestive text messages to employees, deleted public records, and potentially misspent campaign funds. Shirk says that's all in the past, that he's apologized for his mistakes, and that he's ready to lead. This morning, Matt Shirk joins the program for an in-depth interview, and he takes your calls. Matt Shirk, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you, Melissa.
And the number to join the program is 549-2937. Lots of calls already at 549-2937. We'll go to them in a little while. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect, email and tweet us, or weigh in on our Facebook page. And so you recently announced you are seeking another term. What prompted that decision?
Well, I haven't made an announcement yet. I think all the speculation is that I am.
Can you make it official right now on this program?
There's no reason for me not to. It's a decision that I'm coming to with my family in private. I have a good record, I think, to stand on and intend to make that known to the public.
So it's official. Matt Shirk, public defender for the circuit, is seeking another term in office.
I think you'll hear an announcement sometime later today or tomorrow.
But let's just say for the purposes of this program that we're breaking this on this program. How about that?
Sure.
Okay. It's official. Matt Shirk is seeking another term in office. We'll, you'll make the announcement with your family around you later today or maybe tomorrow. And you've thought about this for some time, I'm sure, given that a grand jury report, as I mentioned, actually recommended that you step down after controversy dogged your last term in office. This included investigative reports looking at suggestive text messages you sent to former employees, the deletion of public records, and other irregularities. And so, given that these issues came to light during your leadership of the office, what's your response to that grand jury report recommending that you go back to private life?
I'm not infallible. I'm a human. I've made mistakes. I've owned up to those mistakes, and I'm moving forward.
Why should the voters trust you with another term?
We have an incredible positive record in the office. We've done some wonderful things. We've improved the efficiency of the office, returned tax dollars every year since I've been in office that have been unused, which is not common in government. We've improved the way that our attorneys are handling cases. I think a Times Union story was written in 10 or 2011 about how we had increased the acquittal rate from 10% to somewhere over 22% in how we're defending our clients. We started a program to help the community by starting a program called Vision for Excellence, which is a program targeting at-risk youth in depressed areas of our community. And I think we've got a good record to run on.
We'll go to your calls for public defender Matt Shirk in a moment at 549-2937. You've drawn an opponent in this race. You'll face the voters again in November. Retired Judge Charles Cofer has filed to run against you. He appeared on this program last month and explained his reasons for deciding to run for this office. Let's listen to just a short portion of his appearance.
You know, having been an assistant public defender for 18 years, I know how the office should be run. And you take great pride in things you were a part of, and it's very difficult, and it has been increasingly difficult as a judge to see what's been going on in the office and how the office really is not functioning properly.
Okay, so your opponent, Charles Kofer, a retired county judge, is essentially accusing you of not running the office properly. What's your response?
I'm not sure what he means by that. We have run the office efficiently. We have an extensive training program for lawyers with a number of very talented young lawyers. Not only have we come under budget each year, but we've increased the number of lawyers. As case counts have gone down, we've actually increased the number of lawyers so that their caseloads are even lower than the reduction in case counts. I think we've done an effective job.
Why should the voters choose you over your opponent, Charles Kofer? They will have a choice this time. When you ran the first time, you ousted the former public defender, Bill White.
Yes. We've done a very effective job at representing our clients. It's time to move our community forward. We have the criminal justice system has been failing for decades, for three, 4 decades in this community. And for the last 8 years, we have developed programs to help veterans, to help people in dire need of drug treatment, to try to help target youth before they come into our system, and we will continue to do that. It's time to move our community forward, not backwards.
Let me ask you about that as a follow-up. Public defenders' offices all over the country are typically underfunded, understaffed, really struggle when it comes to the issues in the criminal justice system. That's an issue here and everywhere. How do you look at leading through that in this circuit? Because, of course, in this circuit, there have been a number of high-profile cases that have drawn negative national media attention. Mm-hmm. We could name a long list.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's a daily fight in the courtroom. And we do it by pinching pennies, by ensuring that every penny that's spent is spent wisely when it comes to defending our clients.
Let's go to your calls right now as we speak with public defender Matt Shirk. In this exclusive interview, he takes your calls and explains his decision to run for re-election. 549-2937 to join us. John in Atlantic Beach. Hi, John. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a former public defender from another part of the country, and I have a couple of specific questions. I wonder, do you have any specific numbers to give me? First is, what is the median income of your public defender staff as compared to the median income of local prosecutors? Second, what is the average length of stay of your attorneys before they move on to private practice?
I don't have the median income of the assistant public defenders. We're traditionally funded lower. If you look at starting salaries of our assistant public defenders, we start at $40,000 a year. Prosecutors usually start in the neighborhood of $42,000, $44,000, and I think that they increase their salary at a much quicker rate than we do. Mm-hmm. We're funded basically a 2-to-1 ratio by the state legislature, so we get about half the money the prosecutors get. Mm-hmm. Our lawyers stay approximately 3 years on average before they move out into private practice.
Yeah. John in Mandarin. Hi, John. Good morning.
Hi.
Go ahead, John.
Hi. Am I on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. This is John, and I wanted to ask Matt, and he's talked a lot about saving taxpayers' money. But a story came out a couple of weeks ago in Florida Politics about him using public defender office staff to essentially run his reelection campaign. I found it ironic that in the same story, while they were denying that they were doing this, one of their employees, Sam Scheiber, confirmed for Florida Politics that he actually was running for reelection during business hours. What I want to know is Scheiber a political consultant or is he a communications person with the public defender's office?
Thanks for the call.
Mr. Shiver is not a campaign consultant, and he did not confirm to Florida Politics that I running for re-election.
Okay. And, what is his role?
He is at Matt Bisbee, who we were talking about before we came on here, who's involved in public records responses and communications to the public. Mr. Shiver filled the role of Mr. Bisbee, who left the office.
So who is running your campaign?
I do not have a campaign set up.
You don't?
No, ma'am.
So who's going to do your campaign funds? Who's going to do your campaign signs and ads and all of that?
When I announce that I'm running for re-election or not, then I will make the announcement that of who the campaign
team
will be.
So you haven't made any official hires yet?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And let's go now to Mike in Jacksonville. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I just wanted to ask a couple quick questions. You're running as a Republican, as is Judge Kofor. Have you always been a Republican, or have you switched sides before like you did?
I've never been anything but a registered Republican. I've always voted Republican. I've always been a Republican. I was literally born a Republican. My dad was the county chairman for the Republican Party for over 20 years in my home county. So I've always been a Republican.
I have one more question. I read a little bit on your website and heard a little bit about on the radio about the summer camp program. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. It's called Vision for Excellence. And in 2010, we had been noticing for the year or so I'd been in office that a number of programs for children had sort of started to wane away. They weren't effective. So we thought we could be part of the solution, and we started a program called Vision for Excellence. It's targeting young men between the ages of 9 and 15. It focuses on certain areas of Jacksonville, like the east side of Jacksonville, where there's a lot of crime, west side and 103rd Street area, where there's a lot of crime. And we're helping scores and scores of children. We're going through this 5-week summer program, learning on building character traits and showing them possibilities for job opportunities in school and education. And it's a wonderful program that's expanded each year, and we intend to expand it again this year.
Mike, thanks for the call. In terms of your party affiliation, in the past, the office was seen as needing to be more nonpartisan. What would you say to those who felt that it should return to that sentiment? Do you see it as a nonpartisan spirit of the office? What are your thoughts about that?
Partisanship doesn't play a role in the office or in how the anything related to the office. It is an elected office by the Florida Constitution. I have chosen to run as a Republican because I am a Republican. I believe in Republican ideals. And until the Constitution says otherwise, that is what the office is set up to be.
Lots of calls, emails, and tweets and Facebook comments for Public Defender Matt Shirk right now. Let's get right to it as we go now to John in Jacksonville. Hi, John. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had always heard that in the past that the public defender's office was doing such a good job, they were considered a much stronger entity than the state attorney's office. So I was curious when Mr. Shirk took over why he got rid of his top 10 assistant public defenders. And I didn't understand the reason for that, especially when Ann Fennell was so highly rated in the city. I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Okay. And that's going back to when you were first elected.
Certainly, yeah. Ann Fennell submitted a letter of resignation. She left on her own. I think we've done a very effective job. I think the people who have been complaining or touting about the people who left are the people who left. And we have a number of talented lawyers. We have more death-qualified lawyers in the office than ever before. We've gotten more death or life recommendations in death penalty cases in the last 8 years than have been in the previous 10 years prior to that.
Why did you let them go?
Maybe not
Infidel, but the others.
Yeah, I think we discussed this on your program
some time
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, many of those people made it clear they weren't going to work in the office any longer. Many of them retired. They were in the deferred retirement option program. And others, I just chose to bring my own team in. And I think that addresses it.
Andre is downtown. Hi, Andre.
Hi. I had a couple of questions. It's regarding probably a subject that Mr. Shirk doesn't want to really address, but he talked about not being being in trouble, and I was just wondering, all the stuff that took place in the workplace, does he feel that kind of violated the public trust a little bit? He's there to do a job, but yet he used his office for more personal issues than I guess would be allowed for, resulting in the scathing review for him to resign. I was just hoping he could address that a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, Andre. Let's get back to that because that, of course, is the issue that most voters will weigh most heavily when they cast their ballots.
To the extent that the public's lost trust in me, I apologize. I can't change decisions and actions that I've made. It's I don't know how much more I can address it other than apologize. I've learned from mistakes that the decisions and actions that I made have brought me closer to God, have brought me closer.
How so? Tell us about that.
I'd love to talk about that. I had a transformational personal encounter with Jesus Christ that changed my life on September 1st of 2013, which was right in the middle of all of this controversy.
Were you religious before?
No, ma'am. And I've been running from God for 40 years of my life, and He allowed me to come to the end of myself, and it brought me to a place that I am today that I will never return back. Always going to move forward, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and it has changed my thought process, the way I lead in the office. It has changed everything about me, I pray every day that the kind of decisions and actions that I had led us to this discussion mm-hmm. won't happen again. And
what led you to it? Was it let's face it, a lot of people go through what many people might just call a midlife crisis, a lot of men especially, and women, but men especially. I mean, was that what it was?
You can call it whatever you'd like. I think it's being apart from God and relying on myself and the sinful nature of man. And I'm a human being. We're all sinful people. But I take responsibility for my actions and my decisions. And I've moved on from that.
Let's go now to Mark in Yulee. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Hi, yes. I keep hearing about these things called smart justice and these veterans courts. And why do we have all these specialty courts? And would you mind talking about what this smart justice is? I know I see the state attorney start talking about it. I know you've talked about it for quite some time now. Just kind of, if you wouldn't mind expand on some of that, and I'll listen off the air.
Yeah. You. Sure, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah, smart justice is something we've been touting for years that has really caught on in the public, and a number of state legislatures and state attorney and people all over the place have been talking about. And what it is it's being smarter in the justice system. We've learned over the years that the cost of incarceration is astronomical. It's too much for us to bear. And so it's supporting programs that are smarter, that are cost effective to the taxpayer, still hold people accountable, but actually attempt to fix the problem. And some of those smart justice programs that we've touted and led in establishing here in the Fourth Circuit is Veterans Treatment Court, something that all the other players in the criminal justice system seemed to be against at the time but our staff really worked hard, and we established, and that's helping scores of veterans in Jacksonville. We have one of the most friendliest veteran community in the country, and this program is just complementing that.
Let's talk a little bit about many of the tweets and emails coming in. Here's one from Phyllis. Can he expand a little bit about how much money his office has returned to the taxpayers?
I'm sorry, what was that question again?
Can you talk a little bit about how much money the office has returned to the taxpayers?
Sure.
And then there's a related tweet about that from James. These seem like self-imposed budget cuts and returning money to the state while defendants suffer. So two questions about that.
Yeah, so we have different pots of money that were allocated by the state legislature. One of them is the due process fund, which can only be used, which is where all of our money goes to help defend our clients. Okay, we don't return that money. That money is used, we use it all because we spend it all on defending the clients and court cases and everything related to that. We have a salaries and budgets, salaries and benefits budget, and then we have an operating cost budget. Most of the money that we've returned has all come from operating costs, which is money that we're spent on operating the office. Mm-hmm. We do things efficiently. The clients have not suffered because of the return of money. Government has run inefficient. It still does in all areas of our government. And one of the things that I always have heard government officials say, and everybody knows, is that, oh, we get towards the end of the fiscal year, and it's government bureaucrats say, well, we better spend the rest of the money or we're going to lose it or we won't get it next year. And that's just simply not the case. When we have unused dollars, we let it revert back to the state budget, and they've never cut us the following year.
And here's an email from Bill. Can you ask Mr. Shirk about his close relationship with State Attorney Angela Corey? Doesn't he think there should be more of an adversarial relationship between the two offices?
We have an adversarial relationship, and anyone who thinks that Angela Corey and I are close doesn't know Angela Corey and I, because we are not close.
Not anymore?
We were friends at one time, and unfortunately it doesn't exist any longer.
Why is that?
You'll have to ask her.
So the relationship is just not what it once was?
It is not what it once was.
And is that simply just due to years of being on the opposite side of cases?
It must be.
And do you feel that that's how it should be?
That's the way the system is designed to be.
Do you enjoy the job?
I do enjoy the job.
What do you like about it?
I enjoy giving people jobs. I enjoy fighting for justice. I enjoy advocating for programs that actually help the community. I enjoy talking to members in the public about how we can improve the system.
Any final thoughts?
No, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Well, thank you for being on the show. He's public defender Matt Shirk, running for re-election this morning, and announcing it on the show this morning, even though we said it's not official. But we'll say it is. Much more still ahead. Later in the hour, comedian Greg Morton will be in studio, plus The Spectator with some ideas for your first weekend of the new year. But up next, how intelligent transportation systems are fixing your commute all around town. Stay with us.
Kids are better than adults at picking up new languages, we know that. So what about kids writing computer code?
This is a lucrative and interesting pathway, and let's expose our kids to this early.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, cybersecurity training for kids. Next time on Marketplace, we'll have that and the rest of the day's business news. It's from APM.
Weeknights at 6 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
This is the sound of drama. This is the sound of your community.
Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Enjoy live streaming of your favorite local WJCT and PBS and NPR content, all free from your devices. The WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
On the next Fresh Air, the showdown between Iran and Saudi Arabia. We talk with Robin Wright about the severing of diplomatic relations between the two countries, what's behind it, and what the consequences may be for the region and the world. Wright has been covering the Middle East for over 40 years and is now a contributing writer for The New Yorker. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back. Well, it's welcome news for frustrated commuters across the First Coast. The latest state-of-the-art technology is now being used to battle traffic jams in our area and do a lot of other things, too. The new North Florida Regional Transportation Management Center features a wall of videos with 18 screens streaming real-time traffic conditions from hundreds of roadside cameras all around the region. And multiple different agencies are all housed inside one central location on North Jefferson Street to streamline communication and make things work more efficiently. This has been a long time in the making. Jeff Sheffield, CEO of the North Florida Transportation Management Organization, North Florida TPO, I should say, and Pete Vega with FDOT join us now with more about how all of this is working. Guys, good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning.
And let's talk about this, the new North Florida Regional Transit Transportation Management Center, and also how this is the hub of the region's ITS, Intelligent Transportation System. Jeff, let's begin with you. You had the grand opening for this just at the end of 2015, and I was lucky enough to get a tour. It is really impressive.
It is. We're very, very pleased with the outcome. It's a project that's been well over a decade in the making, and couldn't be more excited at the turnout for the ribbon cutting, the response that we've received across the board as to the importance of the project. And when they see the facility, they understand the kind of things that are being put in place for commuters every day.
Absolutely. Pete Vega, FDOT and the Florida Highway Patrol are collaborating on this. And that video wall with all of those cameras, you guys can sit and look up at that wall and see at a glance what's going on roads all over the region.
Yes, it's a benefit to the organizations. We actually have also expanded since you've last been there to another 24 video monitors with more to come. The key thing is that we're covering with the FHP nearly 1,000 miles of roadway.
Really?
Yes.
And so when we talk about streamlining and putting everything in one central location, what does that mean for the average driver, the average commuter? How does that improve their life?
When we look at it, when we talk about ITS, Intelligent Transportation Systems, I think for the public right now, what they would know that to be or when they're on the interstates now, they see the cameras and the dynamic message signs. What's been happening for the last 10 years, however, is the DOT has been investing on the interstates, and the TPO has been investing now on their commuting routes. So you're Blanding Boulevards, you're Beach Boulevards and Atlantics, in order to put in technology now for signals to be more efficient. So we've reached that sort of critical mass that called for the next step in building this facility now and having all first responding agencies in the same room, a common sense approach, so that now during incidents, they can truly respond as quickly as possible. And that's where the benefit comes into the commuter. They may or may not know how it's happening, but what they are realizing is a reduction in the delay created from incidents, more efficiency in the corridors with signal control, and hopefully overall a more predictable commute.
Not only that, Pete, not only are the cameras up there, you have wind sensors, vehicle detection sensors. For example, in the event of high winds or a hurricane, you can instantly reroute traffic to keep people safe, keep people off bridges and such, correct?
Correct. Our country, our nation as a whole has gone to technology as a tool to manage resources better. And with the future of connected vehicles and autonomous vehicles coming, we're ahead of the game.
And it must be exciting to go to work every day. For you guys, this is like playing in a candy
it
store,
is,
I would say.
For right? myself and my staff, it's pretty cool because for us, I would say we are not directly related to the functions that occur in the TMC, but the TPO has been the champion of ITS in the region and making significant investments. So for us, it's fun to go in and see the operations over there and watch it continue to grow. And know that we are a part of that and part of the future. Again, Pete mentions this move towards autonomous vehicles, and we've talked about it a bit, driverless vehicle system. This type of technology is what will feed information to those types of vehicles and allow those opportunities to be there. So it's neat. I think our biggest goal, however, is to communicate this to the public. I don't think they grasp even today, in what we say, it's very difficult to put into words until they've had an opportunity to see it. Mm-hmm. There are so many resources available to them now through their phones and that sort of thing that could provide the data from our facility to them to make a more conscious decision on their travel.
What's the easiest app that you recommend, Pete?
Well, we have a Florida 511 app that provides them traffic information throughout the state. There are other products available through Google or Waze that can be utilized. However, I should mention that most of that information is coming from the department and our Regional Transportation Management Center. I also should be remiss not to mention that Jeff and the North Florida TPO just won an award, a State of Florida award, as champions of ITS and have been a benchmark for other organizations throughout the nation because of what they've done.
Kudos to you. And gentlemen, thank you both so much for joining us. It's exciting and it's good news for all of us out there on the roads.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff Sheffield leads the North Florida TPO. We were also joined by Pete Vega from FDOT. It's the new transit center in town and it's ITS, the new way of getting us all commuting more smartly. Coming up, The Spectator and comedian Greg Morton. Don't miss it.
For years, Kate Blanchett was signed on to star in the movie Carol. It's a complex love story between two women set in the 1950s, and it's based on Patricia Highsmith's novel, first published as The Price of Salt.
It's the slippery sexuality and morality that is so attractive, I think.
Kate Blanchett on Playing Carol later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weekdays at 4 on 89.9 WJCT.
This is Michael Feldman. You know what makes a great holiday gift? Me. Or if you can't give me, how's about tickets to see me live? WJCT and the Flora Theater are proud to bring Michael Feldman's What Do You Know Live to Jacksonville on February 20th. Do the quiz, have some great guests and music, and possibly defect from Wisconsin once and for all. Tickets now at the Flora Theater box office by phone at 904-355-2787 or online at floridatheater.com. Hope to see you there.
Follow what's happening at WJCT even when you're away from your radio. You can follow WJCT on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can listen live online to WJCT FM at wjct.org/listen or on iTunes Radio or TuneIn Radio. And you can hear all of your favorite WJCT FM shows anytime on demand on iTunes and Stitcher. Wherever you are, WJCT is there.
Relax around the clock with the music of your life. Playing great music from Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald to James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, and more. Relax Radio, WJCT, 89.9 HD3. Learn more at wjct.org/relax.
Never know how much I love you.
Welcome back. Well, they call him Mr. Standing O. Comedian Greg Morton is known as the ultimate stand-up act at clubs, colleges, and theaters all over the country and the world. Morton has shared the stage with such legends as Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock. He's worked with everyone from Sinbad to the Muppets and many more. In fact, he's opened for stars such as Celine Dion to Luther Vandross, you name it. You may recognize him from his numerous TV appearances, shows like Premium Blend on Comedy Central, Comics Unleashed, and Comedy TV. Morton is also a four-time veteran of the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal and a YouTube sensation with more than 4 million hits. Greg Morton is at the Comedy Zone tonight through Saturday, and he joins us now in studio with a preview of his very funny act. Greg Morton, a pleasure to have you back on the show. Good morning.
Wow, thank you.
Oh, you've got such a nice great voice, too.
Well, part of that is I've been sick for the past week.
Oh, no.
No, I'm feeling much better. I know it sounds horrible to come in here like, well, hi, Melissa.
Don't get it on me. That sucks that you got to go on stage with a cold.
Oh, last week was so difficult for me because I was doing, you know, the New Year's Eve thing.
Oh, where were you?
And I was in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, I used to work in that market a long time ago. It's a beautiful city.
It really is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, such a beautiful little place. And the rolling hills and the horse farms.
Right?
Yeah.
When you fly in there and you see the rolling hills, like you said, all the green and
gorgeous.
The horses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then you see the little schoolhouse in the background, and you realize that that's the airport.
That's about right. Yeah.
It looks like a little brick schoolhouse.
Yeah. It's exactly right. So you were there for New Year's. Now you're in Jacksonville.
Yes.
You're jetting all over the place, and you'll open tonight at the Comedy Zone.
Oh, sorry.
No,
sorry about that.
Turn off your phone, Greg.
I am.
You're live on the air.
Incredibly sorry. Well, I wanted to take a picture of us before we went on the air.
Oh, yeah. We got to do that. Now, 4 million hits on YouTube. You're a viral sensation. You just threw your phone across the studio. I hope you didn't break it. I can see why.
I am sick of these things, aren't you?
They're really a
they
disease.
They have taken over.
Yeah, I'm a slave to my cell phone.
Especially as a performer. Like, I look down and I, you know, like my show has everything in it.
Yeah?
You know, I've got singing and dancing. I
do
impressions.
You sing?
Oh, yeah.
Who's your best impersonation or impression?
My best, let me give you a sampling. Believe they think for the power. Hey, friend. Like, wow, Scoop. Yeah. Ruben, you. I can't believe it. This was too far, and then you went right past it. Where were we going right now? Affleck!
That's awesome.
I got all kinds of voices in me, you know?
Can you do any of the presidential candidates? Something topical, maybe?
Pardon me. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay.
I wish I could do Trump. Now, that guy is
you
not
gotta
an
do
easy
him.
Guy. Well, I am working on a song, Donald Trump. It's
really?
Going to be, it's to the song Uptown Funk.
Oh, Uptown
but it's gonna
Trump.
Be, but it, yes, it's going to be Uptown
oh,
Trump.
Oh, now that that's going to kill.
It's going to kill, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've already got some of it together, and my previous hit was Obama Man, and that is...
How's that go?
Well, it's not going well right now.
Why
people
is that?
They're very angry at Obama, and they won't listen to my song.
Oh, no. They don't like it
However,
anymore.
But last week was... But this week was really good. Like, last night I performed this song.
Uh-huh.
They loved the song. I think, obviously... Much more intelligent crowd here in Jacksonville.
How's it go? Can you just do like one bar?
Oh, sure. Who can tank tomorrow? Spend it all today.
Oh, no.
Who can take all your handguns and take them all away? Obama man. Well, it kind of flips back and forth. It does some of the great things that he's done, and it's done some of the, you know,
right,
some of the other things that people don't like.
Right, right.
And it's a parody. It's a satire. I try to tell people that. And
sure. Now, but you're Canadian, right?
Yes.
So
just
you...
like Mr. Cruz.
Like Ted Cruz. Here we go. Now, what do you think about that? Because, you know, now Donald Trump is saying Ted Cruz is not really American. What do you think about that?
I know that if you are born to an American parent, you're an American citizen.
Yeah,
I know that because the IRS says so.
Yeah, and they're the final arbiter. That's right. That's right. They have the final say.
I find Ben Carson to be the most interesting.
Why is that?
Well, he's always holding his hands. I mean, he must have been off the train. The counseling of, now listen, Ben, you can't move your arms around like you're that robot from Lost in Space. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. He must have been.
So they just told him, just,
yeah,
don't
just
move
hold
them
on
at
to
all.
Both of your hands. Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. Keep your temper out of under control. Don't throw any ball peen hammers at anyone.
Right, right.
Don't stab anyone in the belt buckle. Don't do any of that stuff.
So when you do your act, is it all political, or is it like a little bit of everything? Thing.
It's a little bit of everything, some pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very into the Star Wars thing, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. They came out with a new, the new one, it's just called The Force Awakens,
uh-huh.
Or what I like to yell out when I look down at my pajama pants in the morning. And Force Awakens, I don't know if you've seen it. It is, well, it's basically the same movie. You're not missing anything out there.
I still
Spoiler
haven't
alert.
Seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
I'm so surprised. It's made over $2 billion.
I know. It's a huge monster of a film.
Huge monster of a hit.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to have a big hit with... have you... So what's your movie-going experience like?
I just went over... here's my movie-going experience. For the last 12, however many years since I've had kids... My movie-going experience generally involves seeing movies that are geared toward little children. Okay? However, over
Keith,
the...
Can I just go to a movie where there's big words?
Yes. For me, going to see a movie with an R in front of it is like crack cocaine, okay? So I was so excited over the holiday break because I saw three movies in a row that were R-rated movies, or PG-13.
What did you see?
I saw Joy, I saw Spotlight, and I saw The Big Short.
Nice.
It was great.
I really want to see those films.
They were all good.
Especially The Big Short. That's my top of my list.
Yeah.
Joy
I took my kids to see Daddy's Home. So they saw that. Yeah. And it was actually cute too. But yeah, so I saw a bunch of movies all in a row, but not Star Wars.
Well,
yet.
My wife and I don't have kids. So It's date night every night. Every time we go out, we can go to
whatever you want.
Films we want to see.
Yeah.
But I had a terrible Star Wars experience because... I don't know what it is about people when they go to the movies now. They've got to have their phone.
Oh, I know.
What is that? We went to see The Hateful Eight. These two people sit beside us. They get their popcorn. They get their drink. Then they get their phones out. They start watching a movie.
On their phone?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. And it's not even the same movie.
Oh, my gosh. Did you shame them?
I didn't even, we just looked at each other. Like,
yeah,
I go like, I'm
you're
thinking.
You're Canadian. You're too nice to say anything.
We are too polite. We
you're
are
too
very polite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's
see,
how
Americans aren't so nice. That somebody would have gone up to the guy in America and said, put your phone away, sir.
Yes. And that's how you get shot.
I know. That's the problem. See, that's the issue with the, yes, that's the rub.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to talk about gun violence in this act, or do you keep it really light? Do you get into those dark topics?
I don't think there's any way to come back from this. is there? I mean,
yeah.
Americans feel that they need guns.
Yeah.
Not just to protect themselves from just other criminals, but from the government. I mean, that is such a deep-seated...
And Canadians don't have that.
No, we just don't have
no.
that. We don't...
No.
And we're very skeptical of our politics. We have a healthy bit of skepticism.
Well, you just elected a new prime minister, Trudeau's kid, the young Trudeau.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's very liberal. So, and Canada had a more conservative leader, and now you've got a more liberal leader.
Yes.
So, but
you're wondering how that happened?
Yeah,
how that works?
What prompted that change?
Well, I think when you have a leader in for that length of time,
uh-huh.
and was Harper in for? He was in for over 10 years,
uh-huh.
which is practically, you know, a royalty or something. I think people were just sick of him. They wanted a change, and they, you know, the populace tends to swing to the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Just like in this country.
Exactly.
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, now, I really, personally, I liked Harper a lot. He was an economist, and he did a lot of good things for the country. He seemed to, I think that just people were just sick of it. And people were very nostalgic for Trudeau and the Trudeau years.
Yeah, sure.
you know, and that, I mean, Trudeau is the one who came up with the baby bonus. So, you know, the more kids you had, the more money you got from the government.
Oh.
Well, who wouldn't want that kind of a bonus?
Right.
Every time I have a kid, I get a check in the mail.
Hey.
I
mean, they call that welfare in some countries.
Well, exactly. But you know, if you think about it, like the whole theory in Canada is that if you a well-educated and well-taken care of youth is your future.
Mm-hmm.
So if you make sure that they're, you know, that they're well-educated and provided for, they won't break into your car or your house later and take things.
Now speaking of problematic people, what's going on with that Toronto mayor of yours? What's the guy's name again?
Rob Ford.
Rob Ford. What's going on with that guy? Does he figure into your act at all?
Wasn't he crazy?
Yes. Now, what do you talk about him on stage?
I voted for him.
You voted for him.
I don't care if he's on crack. That means he gets things done faster. That's a good mayor. What's on the agenda today? We're done. It's good. We're done. We're all done.
Is he still in office?
He's still in office.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but he's not a mayor, obviously. He's a counselor on the...
Okay.
Yeah, he got very sick. He's doing much better now. But
He's like on the Toronto City Council?
That is correct.
So what, he took a big demotion? Is that what...
He had to. He got very, very sick.
How does that work? How do you go from being mayor to councilman? Is that the form of government there? Or?
Well, he already had a seat on
He already had a seat
yeah,
on...
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was... very, an easy transition for him, and he's very popular.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
They love him.
Man of the people.
Really?
Yeah.
So no one's embarrassed by that?
Like... I think some people are. I don't know why. I think they should be more embarrassed by the Toronto Maple Leafs and their performance than, you know.
Oh.
But I really liked him. He was a very gregarious kind of person. I'm kind of like that myself.
Yeah, sure.
So he was really good for this city, but he didn't get a lot done. He did a couple of things, and then now we have a very, very good mayor. Also very conservative, but he's doing a lot of good things for the city.
Who's that?
John Tory.
Okay.
Is his name, Mayor John Tory.
What is he doing?
Well, what he's doing is, right now we're experiencing a lot of growing pains.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the place is just growing so incredibly fast. Like, I live in a condo. It's 40 floors high. And I woke up yesterday morning, and there was another condo right directly in front of me. I mean, it's just growing so fast.
Right.
So that we need a handle on transportation. We need to expand all of that. Our subway system needs to be expanded as well. We have gridlock. Most people's commutes are an average of 3 to 4 hours.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
It's worse than New York.
Yeah. Well, I think it's grown so fast, mm-hmm. so quickly, that people don't realize that they're living in basically New York. Mm-hmm. This is like a New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find our civility again, our sense of community. You know, there are a lot of people that have moved in from outside of Toronto, and they don't really understand or get that. You know, the walls go up and you feel like, I have to protect myself. But you still need that level of civility.
Well, it's Canada. You got to be nice, right?
Right.
As you just said. Well, so...
You get a cup of Tim's and you discuss politics.
I don't even know what that is.
A cup of Tim's?
Is that...
Tim Hortons.
Oh, sure. Now, you're here for just the weekend.
Yes.
I'm hopeful that it's a little chilly here for Florida, but it's got to be warmer than Toronto. Yeah, exactly.
If you went to the beach right now, there's probably a couple of Canadians on the beach right now trying to sun themselves through the minuscule rays that are darting through the...
I'm so glad you're enjoying this then. That's good. That's good. Because it's for us, this is kind of cold.
Yeah.
So
I like it. It's a little crisp, but I like it. It's nice. Nice jacket weather. See, this is what I'm wearing.
And you look sharp. You're looking really sharp, Greg Morton.
Thank you. I look like I could represent you in court or something, right? This is...
Absolutely. You could be my lawyer. But you're a comedian. You're a sharp-dressed man.
All right. I'd be a very funny lawyer.
You'd be the funniest lawyer I know. And and I want you to enjoy your time in Jacksonville. And thank you so much for being on the show today.
What a pleasure, as always.
Thank you so much. He's Greg Morton. Go see him tonight at the Comedy Zone. He is in town for 3 nights only, tonight through Saturday. Get your tickets right now. Just go to ComedyZone.com. And that's our show. And thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme, composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chevchik. Never miss a show. Subscribe to the Daily Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Next on Diane Rehm, Republican presidential hopeful Chris Christie is among those speaking out against the U.S. campaign finance system. How the Citizens United ruling, limits on individual donations, and the so-called dark money in the system are shaping strategies in the 2016 race. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday Media Roundtable. See you then.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.